Good morning. We welcome each one in this morning on behalf of Jonas and Lily. We welcome you as witnesses to this wedding that we thank God for the ordinance of marriage and the provisions he has provided up until this day to bring this all together. We know without God and his leading, we wouldn't be here today. So we praise him for that. John 2, it speaks of a wedding and speaks there that Jesus was invited to that wedding. So this morning, as we begin this service, we want to invite him to be a part of this wedding as well, as I'm sure Jonas and Lily would, that is their desire, that he would be here this morning in spirit. So let's take a moment and pray before we begin here. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come in your presence this morning, praising you for what you have done, for bringing us together as family and friends this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your protecting hand over each one, meeting the needs up until this moment. So this wedding could go forward, Lord. We praise you for that. We thank you for your provisions, for creating a way of companionship through your creation and your design, Lord. We thank you for that, and we invite you to be a part of this wedding this morning, to guide and direct, to lead, especially to Jonas and Lily as they go forth from here, that you would be a part of their lives and a part of each one of us, that we could represent you and your kingdom through our marriages, that we could be a light and a witness to those around us. Lord, we just want to pray for the remainder of this service, for each one that takes part. Just bless them in their work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we'll begin with two songs led by Ernest. Gentle Holy Spirit and Father in Thy Mysterious Presence. And then we'll have a devotional by Jacob Beiler. And then another song, The Wonder of Love. And then a message by James Ristler. And then the ceremony by Terry Wenger.
Turn in your song sheets, it should be on the front, the Gentle Holy Spirit.
Right. We also want to greet you this morning in Christ's name. It's a blessing to be here this morning and look forward to hearing more of what God has for us and the wedding ceremony and so on. It's thinking about this couple here. Lily has been a faithful youth in our church and taught school for us, and we're grateful for that. And thank you. And Jonas, I don't know that well, but I found just what a little I know, I think he's interesting. And but one thing that I detected right away, he loves the Lord. And so, as God bless you both as you go through this marriage ceremony and as you live together. I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and read one verse there. And thinking about what to share in an opening. The word cherish, kept ringing and coming to my mind. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29, you know those verses there before that talk about Christ and the church and the bride and wives and husbands and their relationship. And this is, again, today, this wedding is a reminder to us that Christ is the bridegroom, the church is his bride, and he gave himself for it. He suffered and died, shed his blood so that we can walk in newness of life, so that we can have a church that is a blessing, that we fellowship together in the spirit of Christ. But you know, the best is yet to come for the church. Jesus is coming back for his bride. And that is something we want to remember today and every day, but especially today. Jesus is the bridegroom. Someday, soon, he will come back for his bride. Let's be ready for that great day. Verse 29 of Ephesians chapter 5 tells us this way, "For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." I think the only other place we have that word cherisheth is in the New Testament, is in 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, where Paul says that he was to the church there as a nurse that cherisheth her children. And I thought about marriage today and establishing a home and having a relationship as husband and wife, I thought this is the key to that. Cherish is to hold someone or something dear. You know, if you cherish something, how are you going to handle it? You know, you're going to be careful, aren't you? You're going to be really careful how you handle it. And you're going to be tender with how you handle that. And so that's a definition of cherish. It's holding someone or something dear to us. Treating with tenderness and affection. It implies deeply valuing, value someone. So we want to nurture it, and we want to protect it. We cherish someone, we want to protect them, because they are important to us. Cherish gives the thought of a deep affection and love and adoration to someone precious. And I think that's the way we are. The Lord would have us in our homes as husband and wife, that we would cherish one another. Titus tells us that the young women are to be taught to love their husband, to be chaste and be discreet. And you get that thought of love, it doesn't use the word cherish, but cherish each other as the years go by. Be faithful to one another. Protect and care for each other. Look out for one another. We think of cherish implying courtesy, kindness. I think it's a must for our marriages to be successful that we cherish one another. So I'd like to just leave that thought with you. And I came across this thought, too, that, you know, we don't know from this day forth how or what you will face in your marriage. But no matter what it is, cherish one another. I've read recently in a writing of Joe Stahl, devotional book. He says in there, and there's a budget article in 2006, gave an account of a couple that had been married and were celebrating their golden anniversary. And that was not that, that's good and it's wonderful. But he went on to say that what was unusual about that marriage is the first year that they were married, his wife was in an accident, and he took care of her ever since. Isn't that beautiful? That's cherish. So no matter what you face in life, difficulties, trials, joys, cherish each other. May the Lord bless you.
You can turn to the wonder of love.
Thank you. also wish to extend a greeting this morning in Jesus' name and a welcome to each one. It's a blessing to be here. A couple months ago, I didn't know if I was going to be able to be here or not. We weren't sure what was going to happen. Well, tomorrow will be 2 months to be exact. I was in the hospital, and there were many prayers ushered, and God has seen fit that we can be here today, and I'm thankful for that. Now, one thing Lily did mention, she said no tears. I'm going to try to preach without crying, but I'm not going to say I can. We'll do my best. But I want to welcome each one. Glad to see each one here. A special welcome to my father-in-law, the only grandparent living. He's here this morning. I'm not sure exactly where he's sitting, but he's here. I'm glad he's here. And then there's also various brethren and sisters from our home congregation. Welcome to each one that has come. We're so glad to see you here and family. Think of that song, God's Love. If it wasn't for the love of God in our hearts, we wouldn't know what marriage is, would we? We wouldn't understand it. We wouldn't feel that love for each other. I just thank God for that. I don't know. My thoughts are kind of scattered this morning. I trust you can bear with me. Just share a few practical thoughts concerning marriage and the wedding. Proverbs 18 says, 18 verse 22, says, "He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Now, I don't know what all he was referring to here, but I think he wants us to understand that this marriage is important, that this marriage is a good thing, that it's something God condones, and it's something that's special, something that's important. You know, a couple years ago, I had a customer come into the shop, and he said, he'd been married 25 years. He said, "James," he said, "I'm getting a divorce." I said, "Ray," I said, "you don't want to do that." Well, he said, "No, I don't." I said, "Well, then don't." I said, "You don't have to." I said, "We've been married over 20 years. And I said, "I know. In about the 20, somewhere, at least for us, somewhere after the 20 years, it changed, our relationship changed, and we had some challenges. But I said, it doesn't have to split you." He said, "Well, we're having mother-in-law issues." And I said, "Well," I said, "you know, sit down and work it out." And I talked to him for a little while, and that's been several years ago, and today they're still married. Praise the Lord. I trust that my testimony was to help him, but it just challenged me. You know, here he was. He said, "I'm married 25 years." He said, "I don't want to find anybody else," but he said, "I'm going to have to." I said, "No." So I think that's a challenge I'd like to leave for us this morning. Work on our marriages. There's a way out. We need to sometimes pray, discuss, seek counsel, but there's a way out. We can find help. God has a plan. He says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." In Psalm 127, going on with that thought, this chapter was text for our wedding when my wife and I got married, at least some of it. But Psalms 127, David, I believe it's David the psalmist here, talks about how the Lord needs to be in it. And I know for Jonas and Lily, it wasn't just that Jonas saw Lily one day and said, "Here, I think I'd like to date her and see if she's the right one, see if we can get along." Actually, when they started, before they started, Lily said she doesn't want to get married. And she was going to be an old maid. And I don't know what Jonas did to her, but somehow he won her heart. He won her heart. And today she's excited about today. I know she is. But here it says in Psalm 127, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. except the Lord keep the city the watchman waketh, but in vain. You know, all our efforts are worthless if we don't have the Lord in it. And I'm sure Jonas sought the Lord in prayer. He sought counsel. Lily sought the Lord in prayer and felt the Lord's leading and brought them together. And the Lord has continued to bless them that we come to this day. Then it goes on and says, it's vain for you to rise up early, sit up late. You know, we can worry. We can be sorrowful. We can do whatever. And it's not going to change anything. You know, that was one challenge I faced when I was in the hospital. You know, I was tempted to just get all wadded up and all tight about this wedding and all the plans. And here I was in the hospital. My wife was with me, which might touch that a little bit later in the message. But I give bare testimony that I was able to rest in the Lord. Just was able to turn it over to Him. I didn't know how it was going to work out. But I knew He had a plan, and my desire was just to be in that. So it doesn't help to worry. So, Jonas and Lily, when you face situations, our tendency, I know, is to worry and to get all upset and tight. How's this going to work out? What are we going to do? We got to do something. Just relax. Pray about it. There'll be a way out. I had to learn some of that when we first got married. I'm one that's has been very quick to react, and I want things to happen. The Lord has taught me to slow down a little bit and just rest and relax. Maybe I don't relax as much as some people still, I don't know. But I know I've grown in that, and I thank the Lord for that. Then on in verse 3, it says, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. Recently talked to a couple to an older lady, and she said, oh, I just have grand dogs. Her daughter or whatever, they were married but didn't want children, and they had some dogs. So she said she has grand dogs. I thought, how sad. How sad. What a deviation from God's word and from God's plan. Grand dogs. Would I accept a dog as a grandchild? I don't think so. I'm sorry. I mean, you can have dogs, but I'm not going to call it a grand dog. I'm just being honest, because that's not what it's supposed to be. But children can be a blessing. It says they are as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. I won't go into that too much. I trust the Lord will bless you with children, and trust that you will find them a blessing as we have. Another thing I think we want to notice, I touched on a little bit, but marriage is for life. Remember that. You don't have the option. You know, I've heard people say, well, we'll try it a while, and if it doesn't work out, we'll find someone else. We'll divorce, and we'll just find someone else. But you know, one thing I've noticed in most divorce cases, the people I know, I have customers, I have friends, somehow, some way, there's still an attraction. There's something about the first love. I'm not sure what all it is. I think God has a plan. And sometimes it creates havoc, confusion. In Genesis 2, what does God say? He made man. He made woman. And He brought them together. And what does it say there? In Genesis 2, verse 20, Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And on down in, and so later God made this help meet. And help meet, I think, talks about being a help. a help suitable, a help compatible, an aid to succor. And this is what I was going to say. Succor means furnish relief. God's design was that the woman is there to aid, to help the man. You know, sometimes as men we feel, well, we're macho men. We got it together. We know what we're doing. We don't need no help. Sometimes the ladies say they don't need men either. I realize that. But when I was in the hospital, my wife couldn't be there all the time. But she was there. She made sure she was there every night. And that was a tremendous blessing. Tremendous encouragement. Different people said, well, why is she there? She doesn't have to be there. She can't even sleep well. They just had a recliner chair that laid out flat. But she could sleep. She could sleep well. She could sleep better, I think, there than she could at home by herself. And it was a blessing. We were together. So that's, we don't know what life is going to have for you two, as the Lord tarries. Trust that there's lots of blessings. But I'm sure there's going to be challenges. It was interesting when we first married, I had to take care of her. And now it's kind of turned around. She's having to take care of me. But we're there for each other. What a blessing. How wonderful God's plan is. But marriage is for life. Then it goes on and says, God caused the deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He took out the rib. Verse 22, the rib which he had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Then in verse 24, he says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Cleave. I appreciate it, the word description Brother Jacob gave of cherish. Now, if you can bear with me, I've got one here for cleave. Cleave means to cling. Catch by pursuit. I like that one. Catch by pursuit. Like I said, it didn't just happen that Jonas asked one day to Lily and somehow he knew that Lily was right away going to give him a yes. I don't know, there was what, 2 weeks he waited, I think. And didn't know what she was going to say. And I think he was a little bit nervous. But he pursued. He kept at it. You know, when you think of pursuit, you think of well, you think of various things. You think of a rabbit and a dog, and the dog's pursuing the rabbit. And he's going to get that rabbit. He's going to go till he gets it. And Jonas went till he got his, till he caught. Keep. I like that. Keep. Marriage is for life. There's no middle ground. There's no way to just switch out. What a blessing. What a blessing. And it's for life till either one dies. Paul makes that clear, and I don't have that verse down. But may God help us to. And you know, one reason it's for life. Brother Jacob talked about how it's a type of the church. You know, where would we be if Christ would turn his back on us, divorce us, because we're too hard to get along with? You know, think about that. That'd be terrible. We wouldn't have hope. But because the home is to be a type, the marriage is to be a type of Christ and the church, it needs to be till death. Because that's how God is. He loves us to the end. Are we willing to cherish? Are we willing to care? Are we willing to stick by each other? Are we willing to work it out? Sometimes, like I said, another thought along with that is Ephesians 4, verse 26. While I'm on the fact of cherish and longevity of marriage, there's one thing that's going to help make that work. Brother Jacob talked about cherishing, being kind. That all enters in. Ephesians 4, verse 26. I think this is something very important for you, Jonas and Lily, to remember. Ephesians 4, verse 26 says, "Be angry and sin not." And then it says something important. It says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And I don't remember. I know in our marriage we've had our discussions, we've had our differences. I've been angry, but I don't know that ever we left the sun go down on our wrath. I think always we talked it out before we went to sleep. And sometimes, Jonas, maybe it's not your fault, okay? Maybe it's not your fault, but you still are the leader. It's your responsibility to broach the subject and say, "Hey, I'm sorry, maybe I felt wrong, maybe I responded wrong, or what can we do to work this out?" It's going to be your responsibility to take care of that. Don't wait on her to do it. And Lily, if it happens, you need to be willing to do that too. Tell him you're sorry. Tell each other you're sorry. Sometimes it takes both. Sometimes you have to cry together. Sometimes you have to pray together. But that will go a long way in keeping that marriage, allowing that marriage to last for life. And don't, just because we don't believe in divorce, don't just put up with each other. Don't just make it look like you're married. Let that love continue to grow. Do those little things that generate love, that help make love. It's worth it. Remember, 2 Peter, Jonas, one thing you have to remember, one thing as men we need to remember. In 2 Peter 3, verse 7. I have something down here wrong. Is it 1 Peter 3? I don't know. I got it wrote down wrong, I guess. Yes, 1 Peter 3, I'm sorry. Verse 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." I love that. Giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Remember, she's not as strong as you are. She's probably not as emotionally strong as you are. There's going to things bother her that you think, "What the world? That shouldn't bother her." But then there's probably things on the other side that are going to bother you that Lily's going to say, "Oh, they shouldn't bother him. What's the matter?" So be kind. Be considerate of each other. Remember, your wife is the weaker vessel, and be understanding and patient with her. And then on top of that, never look and think that you should have maybe married another. That is going to hurt your marriage tremendously if you start looking and comparing her with another and say, "Well, maybe this one would have been better for me." You know, I've told my wife already some of the things we've been through and some of my health issues, and so I've told her, "Well, maybe she should have just married someone else. She might have been better off." She doesn't like when I say that. And I appreciate that. We shouldn't consider any options. We don't have any options. Just want to say, keep your eyes on her and her only. Proverbs 6, the proverb writer here gives some instruction, and he makes it clear that in verse 20, Proverbs 6, verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother, bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. Now here it doesn't really say what this commandment is, but it goes on and says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. They're the way of life. Then it says, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. You know, there are women out there that are going to try to get your attention. I'm sure there is. You'll meet them. You know, I had an interesting experience here a couple years ago. We go to Pick and Pull some in Kansas City. And I went down there. And of course, they like to stamp your hand so that you can go back in if you want to. And this one lady, for some reason, she held my hand when she went to stamp it. And if I remember right, I pulled away. And that was weird. And you know, she just kind of gave me a little extra attention. I don't like this. Of course, I didn't go in those places by myself because of that. But it was interesting. A day or two later, we stopped in again, and I had my wife along. And that same woman was there. And she saw me with my wife, and she never bothered me after that. Never made any inappropriate moves. So, just encourage you, keep your eyes on her and her only. Don't allow another woman to take any place or give any thoughts of anything. It's just going to, it goes on and says, a man is brought to the grave. Verse 32, it says, but whoso committeth adultery with woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. It's not worth it. Just keep yourself to her. Also like to say, I don't have a lot more. Jonas, don't be afraid to be the leader. Lily's going to be looking to someone to lead. And I was watching in the airport. We had issues on our flight coming here. And there was a whole line of people would go up to the desk to try to change their flights. And I noticed that if there was couples, often the woman was the one that took the lead in trying to get the tickets changed or do whatever. That's your responsibility, Jonas. I realize some couples, not all couples, do it the same. And I think you need to keep Lily informed of business deals and so forth, that she knows what's going on. And you need to discuss them. But it's your responsibility to lead out. You're the one that needs to lead out in family devotions. You're the one that needs to lead out if there's a situation. Just recently I heard of a situation that was different. One of my customers, his wife somehow got scammed for $3,500. They had a pretty seal-tight story, according to her. Even if that happens, it's your responsibility to take the lead and figure out what to do to correct it. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but there are lots of situations in life, but you are the leader. Be that leader. God has called you to be the head of the home. And Lily, let him lead. You've done pretty well in that. Just want to encourage you in that. Don't try to run over him. Don't make him feel like don't intimidate him. And Jonas, be slow to be intimidated. You don't have to be brash or rash or harsh, but look to the Lord and be the leader in the situation. In closing, again, let's look at Proverbs 18, verse 22. I trust we understand this, and I trust we all have received something that will help our marriage. It says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor with God." We desire our blessing on your home and wish you the favor of God and the blessing of God and his blessing as you go from here. We do not know, you do not know, what the future holds. But God does. As we look to him, we can face life. We can be faithful. We can find a blessing. We can be blessed together. Lord bless you.
I can say amen to what we've been taught here this morning. A lot of good biblical advice given for Jonas and Lily, but not just for them, for all of us. A lot of teaching from God's word that I can put to use in my life and our marriage, and I think that all of us can. So I would just thank you, brethren, for sharing, and I appreciated the thoughts that were shared, the thoughts on cherishing and cleaving. Those are little take-homes for me, I guess. But most of all, I appreciated how the name of the Lord was high and lifted up this morning. The name of Jesus was lifted up and honored and worshiped, and that's what we're here for, and I just praise the Lord for that. So this time, we will move forward with the marriage ceremony. To both of you, do you believe that marriage is an ordinance instituted by God, confirmed and sanctioned by Jesus Christ, and that therefore you must enter into it in the fear of God? To Brother Jonas, do you confess and declare that you are free from all other marriage relations and engagements whatsoever?
I do.
Sister Lily, do you confess and declare that you are free from all other marriage relations and engagements whatsoever?
I do.
Brother Jonas, will you, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take Lily, the sister by your side, to be your wedded wife? Will you love and cherish her, provide and care for her in health and in sickness, in prosperity and adversity, exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward her, live with her in peace as becomes a faithful Christian husband, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto her as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Sister Lily, will you, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take Jonas, the brother by your side, to be your wedded husband? Will you love and cherish him in health and in sickness, in prosperity and in adversity? Share with him the joys and sorrows of life, exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward him, and live with him in peace as becomes a faithful Christian wife, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto him as long as you both shall live.
I will.
You may now join your right hands. Since you have made these vows before God and these witnesses, in accordance with the laws of God, I pronounce you husband and wife. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob be with you, and bless this union abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Go forth as husband and wife, live in peace, fear God, and keep his commandments. Amen. Bridal party and I will kneel for prayer, and the congregation is invited to stand. Kind Heavenly Father, we pause here in your presence this morning, thanking you for the privilege of being here in your unholy ground, as it were. Lord, we've just witnessed the vows that these two have made to each other, Lord, we know that these vows are recorded in heaven and that they are sanctioned by you and that they are in, you are in favor of them, Lord. So we just ask your blessing on Jonas and Lily today and in the future. Just bless them as they go forth. Just may their home be a bright and shining light in this community and be a blessing to their families and church family as well. Lord, just be with them through the ups and downs of life. Help them to cling to you and to cherish each other and to cleave to each other as long as they live. Lord, just thank you for Jesus and for the plan of salvation and for the ordinance of marriage that you have provided for us. Lord, just it's a blessing, and we just want to say thank you. Lord, we just close this prayer with your prayer that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Jonas and Lily, I just want to wish you the Lord's richest blessings as you take this step and as you establish a Christian home. It's such a blessing. So I was thinking here of commitments. Many commitments are represented here this morning, not just Jonas and Lily's, but many of us have made these same commitments. And I like to think of commitment, especially the marriage commitment. If you take the root word of commitment is commit. And so, if you, the definition of commit is to carry into action deliberately. So, like if you commit a crime, you carry it into action deliberately. But we're not talking about a crime this morning, we're talking about love. And the promises that you have made this morning, Jonas and Lily, are promises that you will carry love into action deliberately, whether you feel like it or not. And so just God bless you as you do that. And that's for all of us, just a reminder that we have promised to do that, whether we, to carry love into action, whether we feel like it or not. And sometimes in life, you will have those times if you have a normal marriage. Your marriage isn't on the rocks at that point. It's just remember that at those times, it's especially important just to carry love into action deliberately. And your marriage, if you do that, your marriage will last and your love will endure. That's my prayer for you and for all of us here. For announcements, there's a reception after the service here, and everyone is welcome to that. It's at the Bethany Reception Center, which is 6 or 7 miles from here. The address is on the wedding invitation if you have it with you. If you don't have it with you, just follow the traffic, and I'm sure you'll get there. So at this time, let's bow our heads for the benediction. And this benediction is especially for Jonas and Lily, but it's for all of us as well. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. We'll have 3 more songs at this time, and then the ushers will dismiss us.
Congratulations. You can turn to Hand in Hand in your song folders. I would request that Lily's side of the house would really pitch in on this song, as my culture doesn't know it. So we're going to go for it, and I wish you two the best.